My husband and I are both in our 60s and live together in a small house in Atlanta, Georgia. We weren't the type to go out anymore and just naturally enjoyed the peace and comfort of our own home. My husband owns a security camera business, and we made enough money from it to be able to retire without having the financial burden of money issues. My husband had gotten a call from one of his customers telling him that one of their cameras we installed wasn't working. I always enjoyed going with my husband anywhere he went, as him and I were both getting older and I wanted to cherish the time we had. We go to the address and fix their cameras, and on the way home we decided to grab food on the way. Now, we were driving in an unfamiliar area, so we didn't know what was around to eat that was good. Eventually, my husband points out that there was a small diner down the road that one of his friends had recommended. It had a nearly 5-star rating online, so we decided to give it a try. Right off the bat, it appeared slow, with the only people being us and a younger-looking woman sitting alone in one of the booths. She appeared to be in her mid-30s and seemed to be constantly alert about something. Looking out the windows, looking behind her, checking her phone, etc. We thought it was strange, but didn't think much of it, as, let's face it, it's not our business or concern. A minute later, a waitress comes to seat us and hands us each a menu with some silverware. My husband proceeded to quietly tell our waitress if the woman in the other booth was okay. She then tells us that she came in over an hour ago crying, refusing to order any food, and has been acting like that ever since. Now, there's no real way to say this without sounding weird, but my husband is very nice. Like, he's polite, but always goes out of his way to make sure people are okay. Because of this, he gets up and approaches the woman who is now uncontrollably shaking. Right as he taps her shoulder, she abruptly screams, telling my husband to leave her the hell alone. I motion for him to come back, and he does just that, giving me a "what the hell is she on" kind of gesture. We order our food, and as we're leaving, we look at the woman one last time and see that she now has her head down sobbing. We drive back home, and we're in a constant worry about what she possibly could have been dealing with that would make her act like that. Drugs, a breakup, depression, we didn't know. Anyway, we moved on with our life after that until a few days later when we hear a knock on our front door. My husband went to open it, and standing on our stoop were two men in suits asking for our names. They were the FBI. "Were you both at the Soy and Diner on December 20th of this year?" they asked. Yes. "Do you know anything about this woman?" One of the men proceeded to show us a picture of the woman from the diner taken on the surveillance cameras. We told him that we had seen her at the diner acting all strange and not in her right mind. Turns out, the reason she was reacting the way we saw her was because of a pregnancy. She had murdered her newborn and disposed it into a wooded area right before coming into the diner. She told police that she was very religious and didn't want to get an abortion because of it. And with her not ready to have a baby, she did the only thing she could do, which was to get rid of it. Why she didn't put it up for adoption or why she had the baby in the first place is anyone's guess. All my husband and I know is that she is one sick, twisted individual. My parents both own a small, family-owned diner in Nashville, Tennessee. They've been in the business for almost 20 years now, and while it's had its fair share of flaws from the pandemic, it's still in business till this day. This story is told in the perspective of my dad. This happened just a few years before I was born, and my dad sometimes uses this story as a way to teach us to never be too generous. At the time, my mother was undergoing a knee surgery, which made her unable to help my dad, meaning he had to do it all by himself. Having to run the place by himself for a good while was difficult, but he got the job done. One night, he had been working the front counter, getting ready to close the diner like he always did. He had just closed the register when he hears the all-too-familiar door chime and sees a woman walk in. She appeared disheveled and clearly sober. He sighs, but being the generous guy my dad was, he offers to take her order. According to my dad, she seemed off in a way that he couldn't exactly understand. Walking funny, looking up at the ceiling, and overall just lost. However, when my dad wanted to take her order, she sort of snapped back into reality and gladly told him what she wanted. After placing her order, she handed him a crumbled up $5 bill and proceeded to hand it to my dad. Now, the original bill was over $10, but seeing as she was clearly out of it, he decided to help her by telling her it was free and that she could go. Like I said, my dad is very generous, so when he saw that someone was in need, he did what he could. The woman gave him a nod as a way of, I guess, saying thank you and left the diner down a sidewalk until she wasn't seen anymore. My dad thought of it as rewarding for doing a good deed, even though he technically lost a sale. Having grown up in the South, it wasn't uncommon to come across people like the woman, that I know for a fact. About maybe an hour or so goes by, and my dad is sitting on one of the booths drinking a coffee, just keeping to himself. And that's when he hears tapping coming from the front door. He turns around, and it's the same woman along with two other men he hadn't seen before. The three of them are looking into the diner trying to find my dad. Thankfully, the lights were off, as my dad for some reason always enjoyed spending his time in the dark, so they didn't see him. The only reason why my dad was able to see them was because of the light coming from the parking lot. All of a sudden, he sees one of the men smash open one of the windows with a crowbar and jump inside. By this point, my dad was hiding under the table, praying to God none of them find him. He hears one of the men tell the other to find the light switch and that if they end up finding him, they would kill him. Now, the light switch could only be turned on from inside of the kitchen, which was sort of hard to find unless you were actively looking or knew where it was. Minutes felt like hours as my dad hid underneath the table trying not to make a sound, praying they wouldn't find him. Now, my dad is a soft teddy bear and never enjoyed the idea of fighting. Plus, he didn't know what they were even capable of. All of a sudden, he hears the sound of police sirens in the distance and watches as all three of them bolt out the door with the register. The police came a few seconds later and questioned my dad about what had happened. Unfortunately, however, it was too dark to give an accurate description of them except for the woman. It turns out that there had been a homeless person nearby who had seen them break in and called the police. My dad ended up giving him a week's worth of food in exchange. A month later, police had arrested three people in the area after attempting to break into a nearby gas station. Lo and behold, it was the same people who broke into the diner. I guess they had some sort of a Bonnie and Clyde type trio going on. It was later revealed that the three of them had been arrested for not only robbing the diner and gas station, but also a bank, pizzeria, and even a nail salon. What scares my family the most about this is that there was a very strong possibility that my father might have not made it home that night had he been found. When I was a teenager, I worked as a waitress at a local diner in my hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio. Don't even get me started with the Ohio jokes. I was 19 years old at the time, and had just started my first semester in college. I would commonly work at the diner during the weekends, as I had classes during the week. It was this small 1950s-style diner that was a popular hotspot in the area. Because the weekends were our busiest days, those were the days where they really needed me the most. One night, one of my coworkers had called out sick, and my manager had asked me to cover. Being the broke-ass college student I was, I figured I could use the extra hours. Mind you, this was on a Wednesday night, meaning this was during the week. I had never worked a weekday shift, so I really didn't know what to expect. For the first few hours of the shift, it was like any other night. You'd have a group of people come in, some individuals, and even that one person coming in for a simple coffee. Now, let's fast forward till around 11 p.m. We were set to close in an hour, and my manager had instructed me to start wiping down the tables and putting the chairs away. I was in the middle of putting the chairs up on the table when I see a man walk in by himself. He appeared to be in his mid-40s with a long gray beard and wore a hat that really stood out to me. On his hat read the word Hoyt in big bold letters. I'm not sure why that stuck out with me the most, but for whatever reason, it did. He approaches the front counter and starts mumbling to himself while shaking his arms. One thing I did notice was that he kept on repeating the name Ashley in a very direct tone. In fact, that was pretty much the only thing he said. I have no idea who Ashley was or why he was saying that, but I could only assume he had some sort of disability, so I immediately felt sympathy for him. My manager motions for me to take his order, and I walk over and ask him what he'd like. His eyes seemed so lost and kind of stared at me in a way I didn't feel comfortable with. He stares at me for a few seconds before pointing up to the menu screen above me. Though I wasn't sure what item he was pointing to, even after trying to guide him. Now, he obviously couldn't speak, so my manager and I tried to help him decide, to which he then gave up and left the diner without saying a word. I couldn't help but feel bad for him, but at the end of the day, there was nothing I could do. 12 o'clock came sooner than expected, and I clocked out just wanting to go home and get to sleep. I thankfully made it home safe with no problems and practically threw myself onto my bed. Now this is the part where things get absolutely insane. I was asleep for a good 2 hours or so before I awoke to a phone call from an unknown number. I take a look at the time, which read 3 a.m. Why would someone be calling me this late at night? I thought. I could only assume it was bad news and answered the phone with a groggy voice. Almost instantly, I hear the all too familiar voice at the end of the line repeating the name Ashley. I remember letting out a huge gasp before hanging up and feeling like my whole world was falling apart. Trust me when I say I didn't get a minute of sleep that night as my constant paranoia crept through me. I have no idea how he managed to find my phone number and call me. Hell, he didn't even know my name as I wasn't wearing my name tag. The sight of the sunrise practically lifted the weight off of me where I finally made the decision to quit my job. I called my manager that morning and told her I quit. No more late night shifts at the diner for me. Now, I would have just contacted the police, but what were they gonna do? Besides, the call I got was labeled as no caller ID. Also, I don't mean to sound rude by saying this, but the police in my area aren't really the best when it comes to solving stalker issues. I know this because I've dealt with it before, but nowhere as near as close to this. I never ended up telling my parents about it, as they'd only add more pressure to the situation. Nothing has happened since then, and I really hope it stays that way. I now work at a grocery store and hopefully never have to see anyone wearing a hat that says Hoyt.
When I was 18 and freshly broken up with my way older boyfriend, I basically went crazy with dating guys. At the time, I also dressed very goth, even going as far as to wear a real corset and trench coat, mostly just enjoying the attention. One particular afternoon, my friend and roommate at the time decided to eat at a local Japanese restaurant with both of us all dressed up. Our waiter was a mediocre skinny white guy who clearly was a little alternative, but it was hard to tell really with the uniform. We had joked about me leaving my phone number on the receipt or something, so I hyped myself up, and I did so. Later that night, he had sent me a text. We had talked for a few days, never really having a right time to meet up, as I worked 40 minutes away from where I lived. He mentioned that the boots he wore meant a lot to him, and some other odd things that just seemed like edgy jokes, One really late night coming home, I was texting and driving, as any 18-year-old does, and we decided to meet up. My stupid self invited him over to my apartment where it was just me and the roommate who had been with me before. Our other two roommates were not home yet. At first, it was fine because I was already drunk, so I would just let him rant about whatever he wanted. He kinda just went on and on about his life, going to jail, medical bills, his parents, and more. Eventually, he asked me if I wanted to see his tattoos, and I was just like, sure, why not? He lifted up his shirt, and not only could I see the handgun tucked in his waistband, but also that he had multiple badly covered up Nazi tattoos. One was just slightly covered with a banana. I don't know what it was, but I had simply decided the best way to deal with this situation was to appease him, so I just went along with it casually. I don't remember exactly every detail because it was over 2 years ago and I was drunk, but he ended up pulling his gun out and putting it to my head, asking me if I was scared. I was immensely confused and I tried to call his bluff, saying I wasn't, which got him to put it away for a while. When we went to hook up in my messy ass room, he had pulled his gun on me yet again, saying he wanted to do it with it out. I got mad and I had tried to fight him off me and get it away from my head. Of course, I wasn't as strong as him, and he had hit me in the arm with it, which that shit really hurt because it was a nice one. When I finally got him off of me and he realized I was pissed, not scared, he had started acting like a crackhead, saying I was crazy for not caring about him pulling a gun on me. He ran off, jumped the fence of the apartment complex, and not even taking his car that he had come in. In the morning, his car was gone, and I had a large bruise from where he had hit me. While to me, it's a funny story, I do now realize how bad it could have ended up. So, to the crazy-ass waiter from the Japanese restaurant, I don't think I want to see you again.
Years ago, for a short time, I worked at a movie theater near where I lived. I was a teenager about 17 or 18 years old and lived with my parents. One night, I was working late. I worked in the concessions at the theater and would sell popcorn and candy and stuff to moviegoers. On this night in particular, when it got sort of late, things quieted down and some of my coworkers left. It was then just me and my coworker Adam, who was a couple of years older than me and was working at the front selling the tickets. On most nights, about 15 minutes after the last movie of the night started, Adam or whoever was working at the front would lock the doors. Then I would stay at concessions until the movie was almost over. We would clean, and after the movie ended and everyone would leave, we would finish our cleaning and go home. So on this night in particular, I remember that the final movie of the night had started. When that happened, the lobby pretty much cleared out and I was by myself. A short time later, about 15 or 20 minutes into the movie, I looked to the front, which was a little ways away in the lobby, but I could still see. Adam was not by the doors where he sold tickets, so I assumed that he had locked the doors already and had moved on. He was most likely cleaning an auditorium that was empty. I had to stay at the concessions for a while longer, though. As I stayed there, a couple of minutes later, and I remember seeing the front doors to the theater open, a man walked in who immediately looked sketchy. He was wearing a brown jacket and winter hat, and the guy looked down at the floor as he entered. He was walking rather fast, and I realized that Adam must not have locked the doors. I was sort of annoyed about that, but there was nothing that I could do. The man walked right past the ticket counter and then started in my direction. However, he turned and blew past me as well, not even looking at me. It was like he was on a mission to get someplace. He was headed to the hallway with the movies in them. There was only one movie still showing, and I wasn't sure if this guy was going to try to get in and watch it for free or something. I stayed where I was for the next bit of time, and nobody came to get any snacks. So when the movie was almost over, I turned the lights off to my concessions counter and then finished cleaning it. After that, I went over to find Adam. He was in fact in one of the auditoriums cleaning. I told him how the guy had entered, and Adam realized that he had forgot to lock the door. He then went back and locked it finally, and luckily nobody else had gone in. When I went to the main hallway, I didn't see the guy, so I assumed that he had gotten into the movie that was playing for free. Adam and I went back to work after that until the movie was over a short time later. When that happened, everyone left the theater and made their way out. Within 10 to 15 minutes, everybody was gone, and Adam and I were the only ones there, or so we thought. We went into the auditorium that the movie had been in and cleaned it. When we left, we noticed something. At the far other end of the hallway, a long ways away, the same man who I had seen enter the theater was standing there. He was facing us and just staring right in our direction. It just looked really strange because he wasn't doing anything. We started to walk a little closer to the guy, and I felt nervous about the whole situation. We had never had anybody really hang around that long after closed before. I called out to the man saying that the theater was closed now and he would have to leave. He did not respond though, he just kept standing there. Adam and I moved away into the lobby, and I told him how that was the guy who had walked in when we were supposed to be closed. I walked back into the hallway to see that the man was still standing there in the same place. Then he started waving at me. It was not a friendly wave though. The man did not really have any expression on his face. It really creeped me out and I didn't know what to do. I went back into the lobby and told Adam that we needed to get this guy to leave. We decided to go back into the hallway once again, where once again the man was still standing there in the same place. He waved at me again as well. The man then started walking towards us. We were both really creeped out and didn't know what he would do, but it seemed like maybe he would leave because he was walking in the direction of the lobby. So we went back into the lobby, but the man never entered it. After a few minutes, I went back into the hallway. The man was finally gone. I didn't see him. Adam and I then carefully searched the entire theater up and down. The man was not found. He must have left out another exit. We were just glad that he was gone. We then finished up and left for the night. I didn't work there too much longer, and that remains the scariest thing that ever happened while I worked there.